Tefan's interim Friday prayers leader says freest world elections are held in Iran. Iran launches indigenous Damavand destroyer. Iran Navy to sail Atlantic Ocean soon. Syrian Army kills a Nusra Front commander in Deir ez-Zor. And a Palestinian dies from complications related to exposure to tear gas fired by Zionist forces. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with Mayuni Machitsas. Tehran's interim Friday prayers leader Ayatollah Ahmad Janati says Iranian elections are the freest in the world. Speaking about the upcoming presidential elections in Iran, Ayatollah Janati said, the country's Islamic democracy has set an example for the world. He added that the people want calm elections so that they can choose their desired candidate in peace. Ayatollah Janati stressed that people are free to vote for any candidate they want and that the vetting process by the Guardian Council is carried out according to the law. Pointing to the illegal U.S. engineered sanctions imposed against Iran, Ayatollah Janati said, such bans have proven futile, as even the U.S. has been forced to admit to the Iranian nation's significant progress. Iran has launched a new indigenous destroyer called Damavand, which is a Moj-class vessel. Head of the Iranian Navy's Industrial Research and Self-Sufficiency Jihad Organization, Admiral Ali Ghulamzadeh, said, tests with the Research and Self-Sufficiency Jihad Organization, Admiral Ali Ghulamzadeh, said, tests would begin on Damavand immediately after the destroyer's launch. Ghulamzadeh stated that over the next few months, the destroyer would be prepared to be assigned to international missions in free waters. In recent years, Iran has made great achievements in its defense sector and attained self-sufficiency in producing essential military equipment and systems. Meanwhile, Iran's Navy commander said Iranian naval forces will be sailing the Atlantic Ocean after their successful mission in the Pacific Ocean and crossing the equator. Rear Admiral Habibullah Sayeri said the presence of Iranian Navy in the Pacific Ocean and the China Sea has elevated the country's standing in international waters. Sayeri said, Iran's Navy has made considerable progress in building and modernizing vessels and submarines. The Iranian commander stressed the importance of maintaining and strengthening naval preparedness to defend the Islamic establishment. The Syrian army says it has killed the commander of the terrorist al-Nusra Front in the eastern city of Deir ez-Zor while raiding militant headquarters in the northern city of Aleppo. Meanwhile, the United Nations Security Council has expressed concern over the spillover of the Syrian crisis into Lebanon following repeated cross-border attacks between the two countries. The body said it is really concerned over repeated incidents of cross-border fire, incursions, abductions, and arms trafficking across the Lebanese-Syrian border as well as other border violations. It also stressed the importance of respect for Lebanon's sovereignty, unity, and territorial integrity. The Council called on the Lebanese people to steer clear of any involvement in the Syrian crisis. Deadly clashes have been reported along the Lebanese-Syrian border since the Syrian crisis erupted in March 2011. EU leaders have failed to reach an agreement to exclude militants fighting against the Damascus government from an arms embargo in Syria. The failure comes despite a strong push from Britain and France. France and Britain have tried to persuade the EU to lift the ban and supply arms to militants. However, some other countries, including Germany, Austria, and Sweden, said Syria is already awash in guns and needs no more, and that a flood of weapons into the country would only escalate the conflict. EU foreign ministers are expected to discuss the arms embargo again in Dublin next week. Meantime, 2 years after the beginning of the conflict in Syria, residents in Majdal Shams, a Syrian Druze village, say the atmosphere in their hometown is calm.
احنا اليوم في Today is March the 3rd, the second anniversary of the start of the attack and the conspiracy against Syria. First of all, we assure you here, this village of Majdal Shams and the occupied Syrian Golan, everything is quiet. There is no, what other claims, a revolution. The people are all united behind their country, nation, people, and their leadership and army.
It will be over very soon, and the Syrian army will be victorious and will go back to being, God willing, better than before.
And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Tehran's interim Friday prayers leader says freest world elections are held in Iran. Iran launches indigenous Damavand destroyer. Iran Navy to sail Atlantic Ocean soon. Syrian Army kills a Nusra Front commander in Deir ez-Zor. And a Palestinian dies from complications related to exposure to tear gas fired by Zionist regime forces. A Palestinian man has died from complications related to exposure to tear gas fired by Zionist regime forces 3 weeks ago. Local sources said the victim, identified as Muayyad Ghazwana, died in hospital in the West Bank city of Ramallah on Friday after spending 3 weeks in an intensive care unit. The 33-year-old Palestinian man was exposed to tear gas in Aram neighborhood of North Al-Quds after Zionist troops fired tear gas to disperse a group of Palestinian protesters in the area. Zionist troops frequently attack Palestinian protesters with tear gas and stun grenades. Scores of Palestinians, including children, have been killed due to tear gas inhalation. Meantime, a handful of Palestinians in Al-Quds on Friday demonstrated against an upcoming visit by U.S. President Barack Obama following prayers in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Obama started his first term with a priority for making peace between Israelis and Palestinians. His 2009 New Beginning speech in Cairo raised Palestinian hopes of establishing a state in the West Bank, East Al-Quds, and Gaza territories that the Zionist regime captured in 1967 Middle East War. But most Palestinians believed the visit indicated a show of support for Zionist regime.
At a time when the world is speaking about a two-state solution and a peace process and negotiation, we talk a lot about this, we see that Israel is doing on-the-ground action and bulldozers that destroy the two-state solution completely. It delivers a blow to the peace process. Therefore, those who want a real peace process, they need to make the Israeli authorities stop completely the settlement activities.
The Palestinian people are not betting on Obama's visit to the area. On the contrary, we consider this visit to come as a bias with the Israeli occupation and to try and give political and mental support to the occupation.
Demonstrators in Saudi Arabia have staged another protest rally against the Al-Saud regime in the eastern town of Al-Bamiyah. Saudi protesters once again took to the streets of Al-Bamiyah, located in Qatif region in Saudi Arabia's oil-rich eastern province. They shouted anti-regime slogans during the demonstration to condemn Riyadh's ongoing crackdown on protests and activists in the country. The demonstrators also voiced their solidarity with Hussein al-Rabi, an activist who has been arrested by Saudi regime forces, calling for his immediate release. Since February 2011, protesters have held demonstrations on an almost regular basis in Saudi Arabia. The protesters primarily called for the release of all political prisoners, freedom of expression and assembly, and an end to widespread discrimination. However, the demonstrations have turned into protests against the repressive Al-Saud regime when Saudi security forces killed five protesters and injured many others in the province. Hundreds of Bahrainis rallied in Sifra to mark the death anniversary of anti-regime protester Ahmed Farhan, who was killed in a Manama crackdown. Dozens of people were injured in demonstrations on the second anniversary of an uprising by pro-democracy activists in Bahrain. Opposition leaders reported that 35 protesters were injured, three critically, and the government said several police officers were also hurt. Analysts say the protests could derail negotiations that began after a regional force led by Saudi Arabia suppressed a Shiite-led uprising against the Sunni monarchy. More than 30 people died during the conflict 2 years ago, while hundreds were injured and thousands arrested. Findings of a new study show that the U.S. war in Iraq has cost $2 trillion and total expenses in the conflict may rise to $6 trillion over the next 40 years. According to the Costs of War Project by the Watson Institute for International Studies at Brown University, the U.S. war in Iraq has cost more than $2 trillion, including $490 billion in benefits owed to war veterans. The report stated that the amount owed to veterans may rise to $6 trillion over the next four decades, if interest is included. The report, drawn up by about 30 academics, also said at least 189,000 people have been killed since the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003. It said the war left 134,000 Iraqi civilians dead and may have contributed to the deaths of as many as four times that number. Austerity policies are widely blamed by Portuguese people. Strike by general transport workers that included trains, buses, subway, and boats caused heavy disruptions as well as protests throughout the country. A correspondent in Lisbon delves into that topic.
Lisbon Subway Users Movement will request an audience with the President of the Republic, the unions, and the Workers' Council to warn that passengers will be the only affected by the strike announced for next week. In times of crisis, we ask subway users their opinion about workers' actions and how strikes disturb their daily life. The decrease of the number of trains carriages, long waiting times, and higher ticket prices seem to also concern some users. Users recognize the right of workers to demonstrate, however, consider strikes as an unpopular way of fighting.
According to the Portuguese Constitution, workers have the right of organizing strikes and demonstrations. However, for Lisbon subway users, these rights are being used against them and not against the company managers. Inês Subtil, Chabaca Cabar, Lisbon.
New official data revealed that Spain's public debt reached a new record of 84.1% of its gross domestic product at the end of 2012, amid the worsening financial crisis in the country. The data released linked decline to increased expenditure at the federal level, as well as in the country's 17 autonomous regions. This is while on Thursday, thousands of students and teachers demonstrated in the Spanish capital, Madrid, to protest against the government's budget cuts in the education sector. The demonstration was called by the National Students' Union, which says Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy's conservative government has cut 5 billion euros from public education budgets in the past year. Battered by the global financial downturn, the Spanish economy collapsed into recession in the second half of 2008, taking with it millions of jobs. The Spanish government has also been sharply criticized over its austerity measures that are hitting the middle and working classes the hardest. And before wrapping up, Hungary deployed tanks to reach thousands of motorists trapped in heavy snow on Friday. This comes as a sudden cold snap and high winds struck parts of the Balkans, Bulgaria, and Hungary. The snow left people stranded in cars, buses, and trains through the night, and strong winds cut off dozens of towns and villages in Hungary. The situation was reported to be most critical on motorway linking Budapest and Vienna, where hundreds of cars were stranded in the snow.
It was absolutely terrible. I live not far from here. It was not possible to go out. The windows rattled. The house shuddered. Terrible. I went out for the first time and I wanted to cry. The clouds moved so quickly. The trees were dancing like crazy. We have two fallen pine trees in our yard and the windows shattered. It was really terrifying.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of Live Ryan and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.